establish outreach efforts to inform business owners, residents, and stakeholders of the proposed extension of parking meter enforcement hours. We provide some facts right away, and that is the current enforcement hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Meter parking is free after 5 p.m. on weekends and all day on weekdays and all day on weekends. So after 5 on weekdays and all day on weekends is free currently. The proposal is Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for enforcement. Metered parking spaces would continue to be free after 8 p.m. and all day on Sundays. There will be no time limits in place after 5 p.m. Posted signs will designate paid parking between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. So that's really important. That was a result of some comments received from ward offices. We've already been in talks with the wards, and we felt that after 5 p.m. doing no time limits typically would be 2 hours, for example, around downtown. But that might cause some issues for business owners and for visitors. So instead of a 2 hour time limit after 5 p.m., we would go with no time limit until 8 p.m. So you can look at it as either no time limit or a 3 hour time limit. It really is interchangeable. And we'll post signs with that information to make it as clear as possible that after 5 p.m. there is no time limit. The overview is essentially with the direction by City of Tucson Mayor and Council, DTM. Park Tucson will conduct outreach to downtown business residents to seek feedback for implementing an extension of the enforcement hours. Park Tucson staff will provide information to the following stakeholders for the purpose of raising awareness. And those will include business owners in downtown, Mercado, 4th Avenue, and Main Gate Square, residents and neighborhood associations along the Sunlink Street car corridor and housing near the U of A, entertainment and event venues, including TCC, Rialto Theater, Fox Theater, etc. And continuing ward office communication, we're continuing that this week, and we'll continue until we update all the wards and get their initial feedback. Looking at our timeline, we're currently in ward office communication mode. Next month, we plan to conduct the outreach to the downtown businesses, residents, and receive feedback. October, so the next Park Tucson Commission meeting, I hope to come back and provide you with the feedback gained through the outreach. November, December, continue general outreach to the public. And in early 25, begin implementation of the plan. Originally, that was scheduled for January, and we want to roll this out in area by area. So the earliest it would start would be January, but it might not be finished, rolling out the whole program for a month or two after that. The following outreach efforts will be developed by staff to notify residents and business owners. And I'll show you a copy of that soon. We'll provide information on our website about the enforcement hours and frequently asked questions. The plan is to create an online survey accessible from the website to submit comments and questions. We also plan to host 2 virtual open houses as well as an in-person meeting for business owners and residents to learn more about the proposal. Those would take place in October. So planning to get the word out soon, as soon as we're done with the wards this week, to send those invitations out. A fact sheet will be provided. And also, I plan to attend neighborhood meetings and merchant association meetings. I plan to be at the next merchant association meeting at Downtown Tucson Partnership in October. And we'll provide additional outreach as necessary to the public. Once the feedback has been completed, we will come back to the commission in October, and we will ask the staff will ask the commission to provide final direction to implement the enforcement plan. And if implementation moves forward, staff will conduct citywide public outreach to bring awareness of these new hours. So once again, to summarize the public engagement, we're going to post information on the website, social media, plan to do a press release, newsletters. We'll send an email blast to our Park Tucson email subscribers and include the ward offices, DTP, downtown businesses, and neighborhood associations. We'll also provide information on the City of Tucson Employee Distribution News Net system. Flyers will be placed. We can put information on our mobile app as well that you use to pay for the meters with a message ahead of time stating when and where the changes will take place. And at any additional downtown community events that are scheduled between now and January, we'll try to be there. And as far as the letter, let's see, I just wanted to show you guys what that looks like. Oops, I thought I had it up here, sorry. I don't have the letter currently available, but it is very similar to the letter that I shared last time. And I will, I can send that out to the group if you wish for any feedback. But it essentially gives reasons why we're conducting the proposal, and that is to create increased turnover on the curb. We do see that after 5 p.m., especially on Thursdays and Fridays and on the weekends, over 100% or about 100% of the metered spaces are occupied on the street. And this will help achieve a lower occupancy rate and encourage additional parking opportunities on the curb so more users can share the curb after 5 o'clock. And with that, I'll take any questions.
I have a quick question about the online survey.
Yes.
You're curious about its purpose and what it's going to ask.
Right. So the purpose is to essentially give a easy conduit for folks to provide feedback about the plan. So I don't have specific questions queued up right now. But it's not going to be something like on our scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? It's not going to be like that. It's basically going to ask for input or concerns that the residents may have about the plan and any input whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. Jim, you have your hand up?
Yeah, just two quick comments. I appreciate, one, that you're making a very deliberate effort to with the outreach piece, which I think will be important if you decide to make a change. On the actual idea side, I think you should be prepared to answer questions about, you know, for years we've heard about the lack of the ability to enforce certain areas because of staffing levels. So to add a bunch of hours to enforcement, I think folks will say, well, how come you couldn't do that when now you can? And maybe there's a good reason for that. And then see the turnover. Like, I understand that price, that cost influences turnover, but if really the idea is to increase turnover at the curb after 5, then I would put a time limit on it. You're saying you can stay as long as you want. There's no limit after 5, but the reason we're doing it is for higher turnover. So just being prepared to answer that question.
Thank you so much, Jim. Noted. Absolutely. Great comments. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jim. Does anybody else have a question or a comment or anything? It does not look like it. So we can move on, if that's fine with everyone, to item number 8, Neighborhood Reinvestment Program. Correspondence to neighborhood associations. Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And of course, I found the letter right at the end of our item here. But this is a general look at the letter that includes information, making sure we highlight that there are no proposed changes to the rates. We talk about the time limits and the payment options as well. I didn't mention that. So just wanted you to get a look at the letter there. Thank you so much. Okay, Near Grid Reinvestment Program correspondents. Thank you so much to the Commission for getting us through this subject and allowing us to get some information out to the neighbors associations. And I'm going to bring up for you the letter. This is an example letter that I sent to each individual neighborhood association. This, for example, is to Armory Park. Everybody got this. So basically, this summarizes the final plan for the Park Tucson Reinvestment Program. It lists the code. It lists the revenue sources, the three definitions that are important to the plan, including the how the earned funds are calculated and the participation percentage. It talks about the six or seven bullet points that indicate limits on the program. So, for example, earned funds are carried over. The spend threshold for each neighborhood is $30,000 a year. There's a $3,000 cap on individual neighborhood earned funds that they can accumulate each year. And Park Tucson has a spend limit cap of $60,000 per year. Of course, program is limited to right-of-way improvements. So we summarized what the neighborhood earned in fiscal year 24. In this case, Armory Park earned the maximum cap of $3,000. And we also listed the earned funds total balance. In this case, Armory Park has $43,000. Each neighborhood association will be notified annually of their neighborhood's updated earned funds account balance in late July or early August. And of course, we can provide updates to that as requested. And then there's the instructions. To request to expend earned funds, the neighborhood should contact me via email. The email should consist of three items: a main point of contact, a description of the project, including the purpose and location, and the estimated dollar amount that the neighborhood wishes to spend. And once I review that and see that all those conditions have been met in the letter and that the funding is available, I will then contact Jesse Soto to reach out to the neighborhood. Jesse Soto leads, he's our project manager for our neighborhood traffic management program. And he'll get them into the queue, and he can get those projects done pretty quick. I also added that the Park Tucson Commission will review this program in July or August of 25 to consider incorporating recommended changes based on financial, operational, or other activities and neighborhood association input. And we provide links to the information as well. So that was sent on September 13th to all neighborhoods. And we've received two requests already, and I just want to throw this up here. This one is from the Sam Hughes neighborhood, requesting $30,000 for sidewalk repairs. And there's locations. So Sam Hughes followed the instructions and provided the information. It's been vetted and has been passed on to Jesse. So Sam Hughes is number one in the queue. And quickly followed by Armory Park. So Armory Park also sent an email that meets all the criteria. It also is requesting $30,000 for sidewalk improvements. So those two have essentially taken the money from Park Tucson for this year. It's accounted for. Any other neighborhood that wishes to request a project, we placed in the queue for beginning of fiscal year 26, which is going to be July 1st of 2025. But I haven't received any other requests. Those are the only two, and I'll be ready to share information to neighborhoods as they make additional requests. So just want to let you know that correspondence has taken place, and I'll take any questions.
Graham?
Thanks, Tom. Outstanding communication, and it's amazing how those two neighborhoods responded so quickly to take care of all the allocation. Will you communicate with those that didn't respond that the allocations are consumed for this year so that they're not actively trying to put something together knowing they're not going to get funding? Maybe like a quick note saying, thanks for the response. Allocations are concluded for this year, and when the next projects would be available for funding.
That's a great idea. Thank you so much, Graham. I appreciate that. I had not planned that, but that's a great idea. I will do that.
I have another question. Is there really, I understand the point, and it's really important to communicate that it's all been expended for this year. But at the same time, are we trying to encourage or are trying to discourage people from going ahead and putting in their requests for 26?
That's a good point as well. You know, I think we have to put a little more thought into that. Like, if they submit a request now, does that put them number one in the queue for 20 for next year? Or do we wait until a specific time frame to accept additional requests? I'll take any guidance on that, or we can meet as a staff internally to decide that, and I can provide an update. But that's a good consideration.
Yeah. Okay. I think the internal staff response would be the best thing. We may have comments then, but I think the staff is in the best position to come forward with that.
Got it. We'll do. Absolutely. We'll talk to staff about that and talk about the timing of that communication and what it should state.
Yeah.
And Robin?
Yeah, if I may, we had a brief conversation about this a while ago, understanding that we might have had already more than enough for a given fiscal year. And so the idea was if people continue to put things in, we would respond to them as they put them in and then say yours will be vetted in the normal way, but the funding for actual construction won't become available till July, right? Because then if we, especially now, get some, I mean, I think we could do a courtesy thing that they've all been expended, but we wouldn't necessarily want them to hesitate, because if they wanted to do it early in next fiscal year, it does take some time to arrange it and do all of the paperwork and everything. But we'll have that internal discussion just to let you know that was sort of where our heads were at with that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Does anybody else have any comments? Dale, is your hand up again or still?
As soon as I turn my bike back on, it's still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Diana? Hi, Diana.
Hi, good morning. Quick question. So kind of like how I do the speed humps for our board office, if in the future you have multiple applications and we have some neighborhoods that are super savvy and turning all their stuff in and have been served, you know, have taken advantage of this program multiple times, would there be any kind of like moving another neighborhood up that hasn't perhaps used it, the funding?
That's a great question, Dana. I would, you know, like to discourage neighborhoods from doing back-to-back projects if another neighborhood is requesting to do a project. So I kind of want them to wait their turn again and to give other neighborhoods a chance to expend funds. So we can definitely consider something like that. And just I can let Sam Hughes and Armory Park know that, hey, you've done it this year. We're going to let some neighborhoods get in the queue as well, if they can wait their turn again until the next, the following year.
Or even later. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I just, cause I know you mentioned Sam Hughes and the other, they're really good. They got a lot of speed humps is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Okay, anything else on this topic? Okay, great. Let's move on to item number 9, which is the the sidewalk parking, 2260.
Great, thank you very much. So wanted to talk about section 260, 20-260, and that's stopping, standing, parking prohibited between the curb and sidewalk or in an unimproved pedestrian area, impeding continuous pedestrian use. So I just wanted to do a review, and this topic was also brought up at the Neighborhood and Residential Parking Subcommittee earlier this month as well. And just wanted to read this and review previous discussions about it. So 260 states that it shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle, whether posted or not, in that area between the curb and a sidewalk or in an unimproved pedestrian area such that impedes continuous pedestrian use. Impeding continuous pedestrian use is determined when the stopping, standing, or parking of a vehicle leaves less than 4 foot wide unimproved pedestrian area. Provided unless the area is posted with no parking signs, it shall not be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle in an unimproved pedestrian area adjacent to roadways less than or equal to 26 feet wide. So the way we enforce this is, yes, a vehicle can be in the right of way between the curb and the sidewalk or beyond the sidewalk, as long as there is a four foot wide unimpeded pedestrian access area for the pedestrians to make their way through. That's what we enforce per the code there. And essentially, residents in specific neighborhoods, West University is one of them, wanted to not allow vehicle parking at all up on the right of way. So there had been a previous push to change this, but it really didn't go anywhere. It did not make it into a mayor and council study session. We understand that the 4 foot can be ambiguous at certain times. And we understand that certain neighbors will push this. Staff here at Park Tucson does not have an official opinion about changing anything here. We are open to any guidance from the Park Tucson Commission as far as pursuing any changes to this code. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions or comments.
Graham?
Tom, how much enforcement is actually going on relative to this ordinance?
There is quite a bit of enforcement. JR, if you want to chime in, I know that, you know, I did want to show you guys some pictures as well. Sorry, I had some visuals, and I know that we do enforce this. I do see the citations coming in, but JR, do you have any idea of how many citations we're seeing for this typically?
Not an exact number. We've always enforced it. It's just, you know, we look at, with it being 4 feet of continuous passage, we look at trees, we look at vegetation that interrupts the 4 foot of continuous passage. A lot of times we get calls or complaints about vehicles parked in the right of way, and when we get to the vehicle, there is 4 feet of a continuous passage. You know, so we do get out, we measure them. We do a lot of enforcement for this, you know, outside of not just being called. It is something that we actively enforce. It's just that 4 feet of continuous passage, once that's met, we can't do anything with the vehicle.
Thanks, Dexter.
Okay. I will share.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Jill. Yeah, I just wanted to share that. I wanted to give a chance for anybody that was part of the Neighborhood Residential Parking Subcommittee to share anything, as we did discuss this as well. Okay. Sorry. Thanks, Jill.
Mm-hmm. So just for clarification, so West University wants to amend this, right? So, because they got some money for sidewalks?
I understand they do want to amend this, but I'm not sure what that proposal or plan consists of.
Okay.
I'm not sure what they're planning to do.
I mean, I think it's probably what Richard has been wanting to do, correct?
Yes.
I guess my only
comment. This is Diana.
Oh, hi, Diana.
They got money from the Capstone project for sidewalks. So maybe they're trying to combine funds. I'm not really sure, though, but that might be what they're doing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I'm not super clear, but I just kind of want to go on record saying that if this is to be amended, it shouldn't be just neighborhood specific. It should be for all neighborhoods. And that's my comment. Dale?
Yeah, I'll comment. I think it's hard to, I understand Richard's desire to do this, but until there is sidewalks, and I know there's neighborhoods that don't even want sidewalks, but, I think it's going to be a continual issue until there is. So as a practical matter, I don't know that we can do better, although, I mean, outlawing total parking in those areas would force those people to look for alternative parking. And in some cases, it's probably kind of unnecessary here. I think you could have pulled up and parked. There's a curb there. They could have pulled up and parked at the curb. And pulling up there is kind of extraneous. So I have mixed feelings, having been the person who was chairing when that was written in its current form. I know it was an extreme struggle then, and I don't think the struggle's going to stop until there's sidewalks. But in this kind of instance where there is a curb to park at, I think there might be room to put an outright ban on the right of way portion that is off the street, because our primary concerns when it was passed was the fact that there was some place to park, and so if you've got an alternative place to park, I think there could be some room for some change. So that's just my comment.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? What's that picture? Oh, okay.
Sorry, just another example. Thank you.
Yeah. I was like, is this financial statements?
No.
but yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much. I mean, I guess, what do we wait? What do we need to do anything about this?
I'm not asking for any action right now, but if the commission requests that we take action or continue further, further push for changes on this, staff will take that direction from the commission.
Well, I think we should keep it on the agenda if it's something that WestU is going to, keep pursuing, correct?
Yes, and I can try to keep my tabs on any movement of that and provide any updates to the commission.
Okay, thank you. Well, we can move on to financial statements. Trudy, hi.
Good morning. All right, let me share my screen. All right, can we see my screen? Good deal. All right. So these will be the financial statements comparing August 25 to August 24. And looking at our off-street revenues, we did see a slight increase of 7% for off-street programs. Moving down to our on-street programs, we did see a decrease of 16%. And this is mostly here in the U of A area. I am trying to isolate what this is. If there was an event at that time, I haven't quite found it yet. I can give an update next time. Rolling down into our permits, we did see a 10% increase over last year at this time. And our citations have also seen a slight increase from last year at this time. All right, for our other revenues, there is a decrease, and that is because for citations, there's a portion that is due to the general fund. Last year, that was done annually. This year, we'll be doing it monthly. So we will see this decrease from our revenues month over month, and this will look a little inflated. But overall, our revenues are a little higher than they were last year. And then moving on to our expenses. Overall, we do see a decrease in our expenses, and that is mostly due to contractual services. Our personnel expenses are up a little over last year, and repair and maintenance is also up a little bit, and that is because we have jumped on that early this year to start getting stuff done. All right, moving down here into our other expenses. This is also quite a big difference from August of last year, and that is because the debt service was not recorded correctly. And so we see it has been recorded correctly this year for the biannual payment. And so that is leaving us with a surplus of $621,000, revenues minus expenses, taking into consideration our fund balance at the end of FY24, that's leaving us with a fund balance of $40,000. All right. And this is our budget versus actuals for FY25. So we can see that our revenues are trending above overall for our budget. And our expenses are just slightly below. So they're leaving us with a net balance there of the $621,000 again. And the final document is just basically showing the revenues only and the pie graph to show the percentages. Do we have any questions?
Thank you, Trudy.
Yes.
And I think we can move on to the subcommittee reports.
Thank you. The Finance and Capital Needs Committee did not meet. That was due to a scheduling conflict on my behalf. And the Business District Parking Subcommittee did not meet as well due to another scheduling conflict of the committee member. The marketing, we still have not scheduled that. October will be the month that we start that subcommittee. And we did have a neighborhood and residential parking subcommittee.
And since Richard's not here, I mean, the update on that one is just kind of more of the same: school parking, sidewalk parking. Is that a good recap?
That's a good recap. I do have a question, though.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Back to the 2260. When I am asked this question by Luna and whomever else, the answer is going to be that we have indeed revisited it, and we are not taking action at this time.
I mean, I think that sounds right. I mean, if we want to include that, you know, a commission member feels like that it should be all or nothing, you know, it can't just be like piecemeal neighborhoods. Right. And that's just my opinion. But I know different people feel different ways. I mean, there's people within each neighborhood that is for, you know, amending it and not, because that is, for some folks, the only place they have to park. So
there are some neighborhoods who are absolutely against it.
Yep.
And most don't care.
Yeah. But I just think to change the code for one neighborhood doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'm a person that thinks it should be changed for all neighborhoods. So that's just me.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so any future agenda items, anyone? I have a thing. A friend put on social media, and I'm sure Park Susan's heard about this, but bike lane parking around, St. Mary's by that Wildcat storage. They had an event over the weekend, and people were, the whole bike lane was just full of cars. And I just want to put that on enforcement radar.
Thank you, Jill. I didn't see the latest comment about that recently, but I know that we have enforced that area within the past 3 to 4 weeks. We hit that area a couple times in a row. We did hear complaints from some actual coworkers actually reported it, and we got on it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's still issues there with some bad habits. So thank you for getting it back on our radar. We'll go make another visit and keep that on our radar.
Thank you. Well, that led to this conversation I was having with the friend who sent me a video of it about, how do you report after-hours violations, particularly when they're, super safety violations? And then also, so that was one question. And then the other one was, does Park Tucson have a calendar of the larger events that are happening, or even smaller, events that are going to probably overcrowd parking for a certain area, just to kind of, again, put on the radar that would be an enforcement opportunity, right? So those are my two comments, questions, whatever.
Thank you, Jill. As far as special events, yes, we keep tabs on special events. We're included in a special event review committee as part of all departments. Almost all departments in the city are part of that. So we do see calendar events, and we also monitor events going on downtown through DTP announcements and things like that. So yes, we are aware of that, and we do make a point to hit areas that will be affected by events. We probably don't get to all of them, but we can make a more concerted effort to do that. We are keeping tabs on those. And as far as after hours, JR, I don't know if you want to give any advice. I know we do have an after hours phone number, and we do provide some enforcement after hours, but it's not the whole week. And JR, if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, they can call just our regular Park Tucson number, and I think it's option number one. We'll get them to the agent that has what we call the night phone, and they carry that with them. So if there's specific concerns, when we have an agent on duty, they can press that number one, and then they will come in. If there's not an agent available at the time when we do bring an agent in, they will go through the voicemails of that, and they will check voicemails as they're doing it.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, well, we did it. Unless anybody has anything, we can adjourn the meeting, and everyone have a nice day.
Thank you
all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Take care, everyone.